I was sexually abused.
I was raped.
I started using drugs at the age of 15.
I was molested as a child.
I was an alcoholic. I tried meth for the first time at 12.
I was a compulsive alcoholic.
I lost my kidney smoking crack.
Hi, welcome to Her Addiction Podcast. My name is Pastor Rachel Young, and I would like to share today about overcoming fear. And I've been born again now for 10 years. Prior to me meeting the Lord, I was an addict for 25 years. And even before my addiction, I struggled with major mental illness due to the environment that I was raised in and the loss of my mother at a young age. So I had a lot of fear, depression, suicidal tendencies. And of course, once I started abusing drugs, I started using drugs as a means of escape. And when I started drinking is the first thing that I started doing. I actually started feeling confident for the first time and not so overwhelmed by my fear. So naturally, I continued to drink, and then over time I progressed to harder drugs. And by the time I was 38 years old, I was just a complete and total mess. In that 25-year period, I really got detached from my fear. I got so booted up or armored up with all these different coping mechanisms that I made sure that my heart was super protected. So it was very much disconnected from any fear in all of my emotions, really. I was numb, and by the time I was 38, I was just at the end of myself. And thank God for His mercy and grace, I got arrested, found myself in jail, found myself sober for the first time in a very, very, very long time, and made the decision to step out and come to a long-term facility to get help because of the fear of possibly going to jail for the rest of my life if I didn't get together was really my motivation. And I knew that I needed to get clean. I heard about Mary Song, which is a program through my church, Victory Church, and I'm actually the director now, which is another miracle and a whole other story. I knew it was long term, so I felt like I could just settle in and really, maybe this would be my time to get it together, even though I'd been in and out of mental institutions and in and out of drug rehabilitation programs from my 20s to 38. So I was hoping that this program would be different. It was long term. Maybe if I took that amount of time, something would be different. Well, needless to say, I came to Mary Song. We're connected to our church, and so we're in services every time we have a service, twice on Sunday, Wednesdays. And the first Sunday that I came, I really felt led to go to the front and just surrender to the Lord, even though, honestly, I had grown up in church, and I had done that a million times, and nothing ever changed, and I had a really bad perspective of God and religion because my dad was, took us to church, and then he was an addict and mentally ill as well. So it was had a very skewed image of God. Well, anyways, I came to Mary Song. I went to church. I gave my life to the Lord. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this again. And within that week, I remember sitting at the table and I was reading a devotion, and I came across Psalm 34, verse 4 and 5. And it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. He delivered me from my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces are never covered with shame. And in that moment, I began to interact with God, like a real, true interaction. It was as if God Himself was speaking to me, to my heart, to my situation, to my person, saying, hey, I know you. I formed you. I was there. I know everything that you've done and everything that's happened to you. Stop living in shame. Lift your face to me and let my love shine on you. And it broke me. And I really had that supernatural conversion experience where I realized that there was more to this life and that God was much more than religion and just doing good. He was a real, active, living God that knew me, loved me, and wanted to help me. And that was the beginning of my journey. Like I said earlier, because of the life that I lived and all of the effort that I put towards protecting myself, I was very much armored up. And when God began to remove my coping mechanisms, the first one was the drugs, you know, and the second one was the surrendering of my will to this program, I began to realize very quickly that I had a lot of unresolved things lurking inside of my heart. And one of those was fear. Is that same fear that I had when I was a little girl that felt helpless and didn't want to be hurt. And so I began to struggle with fear. And then when I would get afraid, I would get angry, because anger made me feel much safer than fear. So that was my response. Well, thank God that in the middle of all that, Jesus really began to pour his love on me. Like, actively pour his love on me. I began to feel his love. I would have these conversations with God in my anger, and he would hug me. I would feel hugged by him. I would feel him interacting with me. And I was just totally overwhelmed by that. And I couldn't understand, because nobody ever stuck it out with me. Nobody ever loved me like that. Of course, people don't love you when you're angry. They run from you. But he didn't run. He ran to me. And so, through that relationship with him, through the scriptures and through worship and through communion with him, I began to get free of fear. It was an interesting process. It wasn't easy. However, I knew in my heart that this was the only way for me, and that if I didn't give it my all and totally commit, that I would go back, and for the first time I had hope. And I didn't want to let it go. And I know that it was God's grace had grabbed me and he committed himself to me. And that was that. So I want to share a couple things. First of all, Christianity in and of itself is supernatural. So when you're following the Lord, you are going to be confronted with things that are absolutely impossible. And when you start off like I did, with not a lot of skills and talents, it can be very intimidating. But the beautiful thing about it is that in Christ we really can do all things. So when we're in, first of all, Christ unifies himself to us by the cross. When we accept what he did on the cross and accept his forgiveness of our sins, we become one with him. It says he marries us, we become his bride, and we become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And now all of a sudden I get moved from one kingdom into another, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Then, through relationship with him, I begin to enter into communion with him. I begin to enter behind the veil into relationship, no longer living according to the natural, living supernaturally behind the veils. Christ is our heavenly intercessor. He lives right now. His present day ministry is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He's our heavenly high priest, and he sits enthroned in heaven at the right hand of the Father and represents me. And it says we can approach the throne of grace with boldness for help in time of need, and that we can live, we're seated in heavenly places. So Christ has invited me into relationship with him, and I'm anchored behind the veil, which the veil in the temple prior to Christ's coming, it was Old Testament worship. Old Testament, they would have to go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies and present a sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people. And it was once a year, and it was by the high priest. When Christ died, the tearing of his flesh from the whipping, and when he died on the cross, that veil in the temple was split in two, and it was a representation that by Christ pouring out his blood and paying that one sacrifice for all sin for all time, the veil that separated man from the presence of God was ripped. And now, as his children, we can be one with him. So he opens up a whole different way to live life. So that's how we begin to overcome. We realize we're no longer limited by our limitations. There's a man called Augustine who has this quote that says, command what you will, but give what you command. Meaning, command me, like Peter said, command me to walk on the water, Lord, and I'll do it. Because he knew that in his own strength he couldn't. But Lord, if you're going to tell me I can and you're doing it with me, I know I can. So he stepped out and got Jesus. He walked on the water, which is totally awesome. So I want to share this scripture in Ephesians 5, 25, 27. And it starts out in reference to husbands, telling husbands to love their wives like Christ loved the church. But I'm not going to focus on the husband. I'm going to focus on Christ as our husband. And it says, with the same tender devotion that Christ demonstrated for us, his bride, which the bride of Christ is the church. For he died for us, sacrificing himself to make us holy and pure, cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the word of God. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant, beautiful and holy, without fault or flaw. So the church is a group of people, but it's also us individually. The bride of Christ is the church and an individual person in the church. So I am the bride of Christ, and then all of the members of my church are the bride of Christ, and all the members in the entire world, all the Christians in the entire world are the body of Christ. So it says in this scripture, I'm going to go back to it. All that he does in us is designed to make us a mature church for his pleasure. So we're created to bring him pleasure for his glory, until we become a source of praise to him, glorious and radiant. And this word radiant is what I want to talk to you about. The Greek word for radiance is endoxos, and it can also mean gorgeous, honorable, esteemed, splendid, and infused with glory. This is what Christ's love will do to us. It infuses us with glory. And what does infuse mean, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I would love to tell you. Infuse means to be permeated with something that alters, okay? Or to steep in liquid. Or to administer or inject by infusion, which is the slow, continuous introduction of a solution. So, Christ's love is infused into us by his Spirit. It begins to permeate us and alter us. It changes us. It changes us. And another word for infuses, to animate or possess. Give life to, give vigor and zest. So as God, as Jesus's love permeates and infuses, it animates us, it gives us strength, it energizes us and vigor. And this one's my favorite. Another word for infuse is inoculate. I think that is so relevant today because everyone's getting inoculated with something, right? Well, when we get inoculated with the love of Jesus, we become resistant to disease, and that disease, fear, is a disease. So the word inoculate means to introduce immunologically active material into an antibody or an antigen, especially in order to treat or prevent disease. Fear is a disease. Love is the inoculation. So what that really means is when we realize who Christ is, and it says God is love, and then who we are. We are able to overcome fear because we realize, wow, oh my gosh, the creator of the universe left heaven, came to this earth, died on a cross to save me. What kind of love is that? I mean, why would he save me? And it says, yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we really get a revelation of that and begin to walk in that, it overcomes our fears. It doesn't mean we don't get afraid. But we learn to overcome because we trust Jesus. We're like, all right, Lord, all right, I'm coming with you. You know, we seek him out in his word. Command what you will, God, but give what you command. We're no longer left in this journey on our own. We have everything we need in him. So his love strengthens us and makes us strong and causes us to be able to overcome. You know, I've experienced this over and over and over and over again with the Lord, because I literally was so bound up with fear, I couldn't even go to the grocery store. Then, you know, it was just one thing after another, and Jesus would always come through and give me everything I need and enable me to do it. And I began to see, wow, okay, this is real. This is, like, I can do this. It's no longer left up to me. You're here with me. You're in this with me. I'm not alone. You know, and I learned that through the Word of God and, you know, communing with other Christians and in worship. And it's super important, because you have to be intentional. Otherwise, you're going to get sucked up into the vortex of the world and all the drama that's going on around you and the lies. You have to put the truth in, and you have to meditate on the Word of God, and then put yourself around other people that love the Lord and believe that He is who He says He is. And then we walk together and we become strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You know, when He purchased us on the cross, we didn't have anything to offer Him. We were in sin, we were broken and in rebellion, and that's when He died for us. So His love is not based on what we do or we don't do, but just like when you love anybody relationally, you want to please them, you want to see them smile. You know, there's nothing like experiencing that with Jesus. It's not a duty, it becomes a delight. So the cross is a picture of love. It's His love poured out. And I love what it says in the Passion Translation. When Jesus was on the cross and before he took his last breath, He said, "It is finished." Well, the word "finished" is a homonym that means the same thing as bride or fulfilled. And so basically, because when He was pierced in His side, it says water and blood came forth. Water and blood come forth when a baby is born. So we're all born again by the wounded side of Jesus. And He not only died for us, but it says he gave birth to us on the cross. That's when the bride of Christ was given birth. And that's where we are all individually born again, at the cross, and we accept that. And what Christ did for us, and that our sins are forgiven by His sacrifice and His gift, not by anything that we can do. And that's where we find rest. So as we say yes to Jesus, and we say yes to that love, and we say yes and accept Him, we're saying no to fear. It says that perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. We are no longer punished when we're in Christ. Jesus paid the price for the punishment we deserved because of our sin. So we can begin to walk in perfect love. And obviously it's a journey for the rest of our life, but it has to be intentional. So we need to yield to Him. We need to cooperate with Him, and we need to commit. As we yield, we are just, it's the scripture in Song of Solomon 1:2-4 said, "Let Him smother me with His kisses, His spirit kiss divine. So kind are Your caresses, Lord. I drink them in like the sweetest wine. Your presence releases a fragrance so pleasing, over and over poured out, for Your lovely name is flowing oil. No wonder the brides-to-be adore You. Draw me into Your heart, and we will run away together into the King's cloud-filled chamber." So, as we let this love overcome us, our fear is, we are no longer afraid, which causes us to be joyful, which increases our faith, which makes us strong in the Lord. Kay Neal says that lovers make the best warriors, because we realize we are so loved and who we're loved by. And we're like, if You died for me when I was in that condition, how much more now will You not stick it out with me? And as we cooperate with Him, we begin to become unified with Him. And then as we commit, that's when we enter into communion with Him, and we just decide, hey, I'm good. This is it for me. I am done with all my other options, and it's got to be You, Lord. And it says that we're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, which is the testimony of Jesus. See, the more time we spend with him, the more we see his faithfulness. And so when we go through things, we remember who he is and how he's always come through for us. So we're encouraged and we're filled with boldness to push forward, press through, and trust and know that God is going to come through again because it's who he is. So I just want to encourage you to make that step to say yes to Jesus, to give him your whole heart, and to really get connected in a community of believers who are doing that same thing. And you have things in common that you love the Lord and you're running after him. I hope that you make that commitment today and realize that nothing's impossible with him. It's been over 10 years. For me, I never ever went back. I never got high again or smoked a cigarette or anything. And I have a really awesome life. And like I said earlier, I'm a pastor and I'm a director of a women's center, the very same center that I came through 10 and a half years ago in the most destitute and broken condition. So I just want to encourage you. And then I'd like to end with a prayer. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for every person listening. God, I ask that you would just overwhelm them with your love, God, that any fears that they have would be just overrun by your perfect love, Father God. I ask you to lead them into your word, God, into truth, Father God, that they would surrender their hearts to you. Lord God, I ask you to make a way for them to get connected into a body of believers. If they need to make a bigger step and go to a rehab and get deeper help, Father God, I thank you, Lord, you'll lead them there, Father God, and make a way for them. Jesus, if they don't know you, Lord, I just ask that they would have a personal experience with you as their Lord and Savior. And all you have to do is just say, Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I receive your forgiveness that you poured out on the cross. I thank you, Lord, that you've made me new. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit and enable me to walk with you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. All right. I love you guys, and have a blessed week and a happy Easter.
I am redeemed.
I've been set free, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Now I have hope in the future.
I'm a child of God.
I'm loved.
I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am more than a conqueror by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony.